Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever get that unsettling feeling that your life's already on a track, almost like it was set before you were even born?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, that's the feeling at the heart of this deep dive.
Okay.
We're looking at The Least Conspiracy, a thriller.
Thriller, nice.
Yeah, it's by Harry Parker, and it mixes this heart-pounding suspense with these really deep questions about free will and, the systems that kind of control our lives.
I like it.
If you enjoy this deep dive, hit that like button and subscribe, okay?
All right.
We got tons more cool stuff coming up. Okay, so the List Conspiracy links in the description.
Okay.
Takes us to Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
We meet Max Quinn. She's a family lawyer. But she's dealing with a lot more than just divorces, right? She stumbles onto this conspiracy that just shakes her whole world.
Yeah.
Then there's her husband, Norman. He's got secrets, family history stuff that's all tied up in the mysteries that Max is trying to solve.
Yeah.
And then we've got Stanley Warmer.
What?
Seemingly normal dude. But his best friend dies, and suddenly his life is totally flipped.
So, using these ordinary people, that's a good way to pull us in, right? Parker, he's got these relatable characters, but then he puts them in this crazy situation where they have to face these truths, these uncomfortable truths about the systems that, they think are running their lives. It's almost like he's asking, what if all our choices are just manipulated? What if it's all beyond our control?
And that manipulation, right?
Yeah.
That's at the core of this conspiracy.
Okay.
He finds this list, and it seems to put people into categories. It's almost like it's predicting their successes and failures.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then Max, she finds a similar list, but it's all about children.
Oh, wow.
So it brings up these really creepy questions,
Yeah.
like, is someone deciding the fate of these kids before they even have a chance?
That's heavy. So, who made the list and what are they trying to do? What's the point?
As we go deeper into the book, we find out about these two forces:
Okay.
management,
Okay.
super shadowy, global reach, and then there's the circle.
All right.
They're all about protecting those who management sees as, expendable.
So it's like control versus freedom.
Exactly. Global scale.
Wow.
Okay, management, they
Yeah.
want a predictable world, everything's controlled, and they'll use anything. Manipulation, fear, even violence to keep things that way.
That's scary. It's like this vision of the future where we're all just cogs in a machine.
Yeah.
No individuality,
No freedom.
just roles.
Exactly. And that's where the circle comes in, right?
Okay, yeah.
They're recruiting from the edges of society,
Interesting.
often orphanages. They foster skills, independence, especially in people that are overlooked or underestimated.
So, the opposite of what management's doing, empowering the ones they want to control.
Exactly. Turning them into this resistance.
That's smart.
And here's where it gets wild.
Okay, hit me.
Norman's family, the Zwanzig, it means the 20 in German.
Okay.
They're descended from the original circle members, the ones who survived the Holocaust.
Whoa, talk about legacy.
Right. Defiance in their DNA, like their very existence, is a big screw you to management.
I see it. It's like this fight for freedom. It's not new.
It's been going on forever.
Yeah, under the surface.
Exactly. Now there's this stained glass operation.
Stained glass, what's that?
Mark, he's a key circle member.
Okay.
He starts this plan to mess with management, misinformation, sowing distrust within their ranks.
So fighting back with information, with manipulation, the same tools that management uses.
Totally. And that's what makes this book so relevant to us, right? We're like,
Totally.
we're in this age where information's a weapon. Social media,
Yeah,
algorithms.
shaping our views.
It makes you think, are we really in control or are we being played?
Right, without even knowing it, like in the book, it's unsettling.
Definitely makes you think twice about what you're reading, what you're watching, right?
Absolutely. Got to be more critical, question the stories we're told, look for different perspectives.
Exactly.
And the book shows us the cost, the human cost of this whole fight. Parker doesn't shy away from the tragedies.
Right.
Ray Billings, his death kicks off the whole thing.
And Stanley, riddled with paranoia,
Yeah.
desperate for answers.
It's like the book saying, hey, even if you think you're not involved, you could still get caught.
Right. And then there's Yvette.
You vet.
She's accidentally poisoned. Just shows how random this hidden war is.
Oh, wow.
Anyone could be a casualty.
That's intense. So we're not safe, not when systems like this are running unchecked.
Exactly.
It really makes us think, doesn't it? Like, we think we're safe, but anyone can be a target.
Totally. It adds this whole other layer of anxiety to the book. But you know what else is interesting?
What's that?
The Schmetterling Project.
The Schmetterling Project.
Canid
Oh.
Butterfly Project in German.
Oh, okay.
It's run by the Circle. They use it to find and train potential recruits.
Recruits.
Yeah, from a young age.
Okay.
And they often focus on kids from orphanages or kids who've had, you know, tough situations.
I see.
This part, like, really got me thinking.
Yeah.
It's ethically kind of complicated.
How so?
Well, on the one hand, you can see why the Circle does it. Mm-hmm. They're giving these kids a purpose, a family, skills to fight for something good.
Right.
But on the other hand, are they taking advantage of these kids? Like, they're vulnerable. Are they shaping them into soldiers? Taking away their choices?
That's a tough one. It's like a moral gray area.
Right.
And Parker, he doesn't try to give simple answers.
No, he doesn't.
There's this one scene where Mark, one of the Circle leaders, you know, he has doubts about the program.
Oh, yeah.
He sees the good it can do, but he's also worried about the ethics.
So it's not just good versus evil.
Exactly.
Right? The characters, even the ones fighting for a good cause, they make some iffy choices.
Makes them more human,
right.
More real.
Makes you question, like, what would I do in that situation?
The Schmetterling Project, it also brings up this nature versus nurture thing.
Oh, yeah? How so?
The Circle, they think some people are just born with this ability to resist management, like a genetic thing.
Interesting, like an immunity to being controlled.
Yeah, like that. And that's why they have the project.
To find those people.
Exactly.
It makes you think, right, are we predisposed to certain behaviors? Is free will just an illusion?
Big questions.
And the book, it doesn't give you easy answers.
But it gets you thinking.
Yeah. Like, what if there are people out there who can just naturally resist these systems of control?
That's hopeful, right?
It is. Even in a world where everything seems predetermined, there's still hope. That's what drives the Circle, you know?
It's like that glimmer of possibility that keeps them fighting.
You know, I really admired Max in the book. She's just so determined.
Yeah.
She hits all these roadblocks, threats, betrayals, but she never stops looking for the truth.
She doesn't give up.
Nope. And she's not some, like, superhero. She's just a normal person. But she's smart. She uses her resources to survive in this crazy world.
What's interesting about Max, she starts out so grounded. Logical.
She is a lawyer, after all.
Exactly. She's all about facts, evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But as she goes deeper, her whole worldview crumbles. She realizes that things aren't always what they seem.
That there are things beyond logic and reason.
Exactly.
And it's that change, that transformation, that makes her so interesting to follow. She has to learn to trust her gut, to embrace the unknown, to accept that sometimes there are no easy answers.
That's a journey we can all relate to, right?
Totally. Like having your beliefs challenged, having to adapt to a world that's constantly changing.
And Max, she doesn't go through it alone.
Right. She builds these alliances.
Find people she can trust, even when it's messy.
Yeah. Complicated relationships, unexpected alliances. It's like a reminder of how important community is.
Solidarity when things get tough.
Exactly. And it's not just Max who needs those connections. The Circle, it's all about people coming together.
Supporting each other, protecting each other.
Like this reminder, we're stronger together.
And that message, it feels really important now, you know?
Totally. It's so easy to feel alone, overwhelmed by everything that's going on.
Disconnected. But the book, it reminds us that there's power in collective action.
In finding common ground.
Building communities of resistance.
And those communities, they can pop up anywhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the book, you've got lawyers, psychics, nuns.
Whoa, that's a mix.
Right, all fighting together against management. It shows that this fight for freedom, it can bring together people from all walks of life.
I love that. It's like Parker saying, hey, look, we're all different, but we can still find common ground. We can still fight for something better.
Exactly. It's not about our differences. It's about what unites us. And that's something we could all use a little more of these days.
Couldn't agree more. It's like he's using the list to symbolize, you know, how society tries to put us in boxes.
Right. Like labels.
Yeah, labels. And it makes you think about those lists in real life, right?
It does. Like in high school, the in crowd or online, the algorithms deciding what we see. Are we being shaped by these things?
The book really gets you thinking about that.
It does.
Because a lot of times those lists, they're totally random, subjective.
Right.
But they still have this huge power over us.
They do.
And in the book, it gets scary because those lists, they're deciding who lives and who dies.
That's the really disturbing part. It's like Parker's taking this normal thing, like making lists and showing us how dark it can get.
Exactly. And he never fully explains the lists, you know.
He doesn't.
We don't know who made them or why.
I don't.
And I think he does that on purpose.
To make us think.
Yeah, to make us question these systems, these labels. See the danger of just turning people into data points.
Right? Like he's saying, don't just believe these labels, fight back. Create a world where people are judged for who they are, not for what's on some list.
Exactly. And that's so important now, you know?
Totally. With algorithms and data analysis, it's like we're being categorized all the time.
And it's not always fair, those systems. They have biases, agendas.
It makes you wonder, who's controlling these systems? Who's deciding what matters?
Right. It's like those lists are taking over, making choices for us without us even knowing.
So what can we do? How do we break free from that?
That's the big question. It's not enough to just get rid of the lists.
Right.
We have to build a world where those lists don't have power anymore, where they can't define us.
Okay, so let's switch gears a bit. Nixman, Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
The setting of the book.
It's more than just a backdrop, isn't it?
Totally. Parker uses it to create this, like, dual feeling.
Oh, so.
Well, you have the beauty, right? The history, the Southern charm. But then there's this darker side.
The past.
Exactly. The history of oppression. And it's still there, you know, under the surface.
So it's like Richmond itself is a symbol of the book's themes.
Right. Beauty and darkness, secrets and lies.
And that tension makes it the perfect place for a story like that.
Totally. Like those descriptions of the hidden parts of the city.
Oh, yeah. The alleys, the abandoned warehouses.
It's like they're holding all these secrets.
It's such an atmosphere. You feel like you're right there with Max.
Yeah. Feeling the danger.
Like the city's a character itself, watching everything unfold.
It is, almost. And I think Parker chose Richmond for a reason.
Why do you think that?
Well, it's not some big famous city.
Right.
But it has this deep history, this unique character. It's like a microcosm of the world.
I see that. The same power struggles, but on a smaller scale.
Exactly. And those struggles, they're hidden behind closed doors and whispers and rumors.
It's like nothing is what it seems.
And that's what makes the book so unsettling.
It is. It's like he's tapping into our own fears about the world.
About the hidden forces controlling things.
Making us question how much control we really have.
And speaking of control, those Watchers. They were creepy.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Just blending in, watching everyone.
Always there, but you never see them.
Like ghosts?
Makes you paranoid, like someone's always watching you.
Big Brother, right? Is this our future?
It's a scary thought.
It is. We have to fight for our privacy, for our right to be left alone.
Okay, so before we wrap up, I wanted to touch on the supernatural stuff again.
Oh, yeah, Madame Bella and the psychic abilities.
What did you think about that?
I liked it. It added this whole other layer to the story, like there's more to the world than we can see.
I agree. It's a nice contrast to management's world, which is all about data and control.
Right. It's like Parker's reminding us that there are things we can't explain.
Mysteries.
Exactly. And I liked how those elements challenge the characters.
Like Max, right. She starts out of a skeptic.
Yeah, but then she starts seeing things that don't make sense.
Her worldview gets shaken up.
And I think that happens to a lot of us, you know, as we learn and grow.
Totally. We have to be open to new possibilities.
Okay, so we've covered a lot. Any final thoughts?
I think The List Conspiracy is a book that stays with you. It's a thriller, yes, but it's also about something bigger.
About hope, about resistance, about the power of the human spirit.
Exactly. So if you're looking for a book that will keep you on the edge of your seat, but also make you think, check it out.
Couldn't agree more. And for those of you listening, let us know your thoughts. What resonated with you? What questions came up? Share your insights in the comments.
And tell us your favorite moment from the book. We love hearing from fellow readers.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.